Goodman Plumbing makes a living by servicing their clients' needs. They make their life by how they service their clients, from the first phone call to when they leave your home when the job is done. Goodman Plumbing is dedicated to providing top-of-the-line quality work. Call Goodman Plumbing. That's with a P, as in your preferred plumber.
Goodman Plumbing, how can we make you smile?
Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, your weekly dose of truth, because of truth. It matters, baby.
Clash of ideas is the sound of freedom.
Truth. He's Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor, Crossroads Valley Chapel, and Robert Quintana, who's now got his own show.
Uh-oh.
Trying to horn in on our neck of the woods here.
Yeah.
Anchor point there, Sunday morning, 7:30 to 8 o'clock, and guest these last couple of weeks, again this week, and probably next week, too. And then if we haven't scared him away by then, we'll call him friend. We've been talking about...
We don't have a very high standard, do we?
No. You know, we're Christians after all.
Yeah. Though Robert sets our standards high enough. You know, I don't mean to bust on him. I'm just trying to bust on Troy.
I hear you, John.
So, you know, we're really creative around here. You know, we bring Robert on. He's with the Frederick Seventh-day Adventist Church. Adventist Church, and we said, I don't know, what should we talk about?
What in the world?
Maybe we'll talk about the seventh day!
Let's do that. It's in their name.
We've been talking about that, and word of the week last week was justification.
We've been talking about the seventh day for about 21 days now.
Yeah.
And this week's word of the week is sanctification.
Yes.
Basically, Jonathan. Robert did justification last week.
Very gracious of you.
You do sanctification.
No, you first. Okay, no, sanctification. I'll be first. Sanctification is the process by which the Lord leads us by his Spirit into being more like Christ, where he teaches us to love one another and to love our neighbor and to love God more fully, more completely, more consistently. And it's a process that he works in us by his grace as we just continue to be his people and stay in the word and be obedient to the things that he calls us to.
It's God's way of cleaning up our act.
Amen.
Yeah, right?
And I would agree with that 100%. I would just throw in there the part the Holy Spirit takes in that, right?
Yeah.
It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit working in our lives.
In justification, we're declared righteous. In sanctification, we become more righteous. And in glorification, we're not only declared and then becoming, but the becoming is like a completed thing.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That's the Christian process. So there's your word of the day, sanctification. Go amaze your friends and neighbors. So now we're talking about the Sabbath and, you know, what day it should be on and why and all that sort of stuff. And justification and sanctification came up in the context of that conversation, which is why they became words of the week. And by the way, remember your homework assignment. Your job is to figure out how to use the word sanctification.
We give homework on this show now?
Oh, yeah.
You realize we're losing people for every reason.
This week, you need to find at least one opportunity where you use sanctification in a conversation.
Well, they got to use it every day of the week.
Honey, this home needs to be sanctified.
Okay, for the record, that would be an unwise use of the word sanctification. Unless you're saying that you will be the one.
Yeah, you clean it yourself.
Yeah, Robert, I'm sorry. There's no way to use it in that way and get away with it.
Robert bought his wife a vacuum cleaner for Mother's Day. So now we're talking about the Sabbath, and Jonathan keeps picking on Robert right at the end of the show.
I know. I did it again.
Again.
Yeah.
Again.
And he's I'm just devious.
And he's counting on, you know, you forgetting what the heck he was talking about 1 week ago. But would you like to respond to what no one remembers Jonathan saying last week?
Yeah.
No, definitely. I would like to say in the whole context of sanctification that I don't think that, and I think I might have mentioned this last week, that the standard Christ has set before us is so high that we need his sacrifice to cover us, because I don't know that we will ever be able to reach that.
Amen.
And having said that, we're just inherently sinful.
Yeah.
And the wages of sin, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death. So even if we were to live out a perfect life, something has to be done about the sin that we've already committed and the sin that we were born with.
Yeah.
And that's Jesus Christ comes
in.
Yeah.
So preach it, baby.
Amen, right?
Can I get an amen?
Yeah, yeah. So, you definitely are very scary when you get that particular tone in your voice. My brain kind of goes empty. I'm just sitting here glued to my seat.
Reminds
me
of a church I pastored in Atlanta. Preach on, brother.
Oh.
I'm just being slain in the spirit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you were just a little too far north, is what he's saying.
So anyway, go ahead.
And
don't mind me.
And if I remember correctly, last week we ended with, is the Sabbath important? Is it not? And I think one thing that we need to keep in mind is that unlike humans who judge the outside, God says he looks at the inside. And so it's hard for anyone to sit in judgment and say, because you don't do this or because you do that, or because you act a certain way or talk a certain way, you're any better of a Christian than I am, So making sure that we have that clear. Now we ask the question, okay, why do Seventh-day Adventists believe that the Sabbath is important, One, I guess we would say that it's part of the 10. And so if we are valuing the other 9, that we should value the fourth as well, It's not as though it's, something that, well, I guess it's debatable, which is the Sabbath day or, which day should we worship on. But if we were to look through Scripture and we were to get to the conclusion that Sabbath is the seventh day, then, it's just, to me, it just seems like a natural progression in the Christian walk to say, all right, that means I need to start worshiping on Sabbath. So that's the first reason why we think it's important, the Ten Commandments.
Right. There's the first. There's like that's 70. The first. There's 73.
Yeah, there's like at 95. Oh. No, not.
That was Luther.
That was Luther. My bad. No.
So anyway, I've mentioned the last couple of shows that eventually we'd get around to, me sharing what the heck I think about all this, like that matters. But it's interesting. I always love when this happens because I agree with certain elements and disagree with certain elements of what both of you have been saying over the last couple of weeks.
All right.
I agree with Jonathan when he says that we shouldn't be getting hung up on certain things. And I'm not sure if you would give the same reason, but I think that there is I believe there's a freedom in Christ.
Amen.
You are set free in Christ. You're not bound by the dictates of the law anymore. You should want to abide by the law, so you're motivated to obedience, but it's not that you're not required, but Christ fulfilled all of the requirement. So I kind of agree with where Jonathan was kind of coming from. But I don't think I could go so far as to, I want to be careful how I characterize. I don't think that Jonathan's saying, "Oh, the Sabbath doesn't mean anything at all ever," but he's willing to discount it a little bit more, the importance of it a little bit more than I think I'd be comfortable saying. And then when Robert's talking about, I would agree 100% that if the conviction of the heart is that the Sabbath needs to be observed on the seventh day, then the Christian should be motivated to observe the Sabbath on the seventh day. And it all does come down to what does the Bible have to say about it. And I think that's where I would end up disagreeing, is I'm not so sure that I would agree that it's ironclad 100% clear from Scripture. Not customs over the last 2,000 years, but from Scripture. I think an argument can be made that the Sabbath doesn't need to be sundown Friday to sundown Saturday in the world now.
Sure.
And part of the reason I say that, I get myself in trouble when I talk about the Sabbath in certain circles. So I'm going to potentially be stepping in it here. But I see the Sabbath. Jesus in the New Testament talks about he didn't come to abolish the law.
Correct.
In fact, there's an even higher standard for the Christian in obeying the law. Not only can't you murder somebody, but you can't harbor hatred for them. You can't think anything ill towards your neighbor, or it's as though you've murdered them in your heart. So there's a higher standard.
Or if you coveted over you've already committed adultery.
So I kind of apply that mentality to all of the different commandments, including the Sabbath. So if in the Old Testament the requirement is to abide by the Sabbath sundown to sundown, Friday to Saturday, what is the true intent of that law? And to me, I think in terms of going back to creation, because it's, you know, it's a creation ordinance, really. I mean, on the seventh day, God rested.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Ten Commandments, you learn that it's a fourth command.
Sure.
And, but then in the New Testament, you hear Paul writing about, you know, don't make it all about a day. You know, don't make your faith about what day you celebrate this festival. That's not what's important. And I don't think that he's saying that none of the days are important.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he's saying is all the days are important.
Sure.
And I think because Christ I believe that Christ now rules. He is the Messianic King who is ruling right now. Mm-hmm. He will come again in glory and fully consummate that reign, but he is ruling right now in a already not yet kind of attention.
Sure.
So if we're already sharing in that in some way, then that Sabbath rest from creation finds its perfection in Christ, and it's not to last for a day or a 24-hour period, but it's to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
God rested on the seventh day. Did God rest for 24 hours? God entered into a rest that is everlasting from that point forward. I think that that's what the Christian is called to. We are called into a rest with God.
Sure.
To be still and know that he is God, to enter into the rest that comes with assurance and confidence of faith in God and knowing that you've been saved from yourself and your own sins and your own sinful nature, and you enter into a Sabbath that is now forever.
Sure.
But now there's the one day a week that kind of symbolizes and represents that at some point. But to Jonathan's point, I guess, I would say that, yeah, the symbols aren't really what's so important anymore. However, there is something really important to be said for the Christian setting itself apart from culture and the society around it and standing for something and being, people say, you know, there's something different about those guys. And mm-hmm. if one of those things that's different is that one day a week you're taking rest, and I think that the Sabbath is an interesting one, maybe all of the Ten Commandments, I haven't thought about this all the way through, but the Sabbath for sure could be considered natural law, because when you rest your fields, they're more productive long-term. When you rest your body, you're more productive and healthy long-term.
Sure.
There's a natural element involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then recognizing it for one 24-hour period, week in and week out, there's a ceremonial aspect of that. And then that being something that along with circumcision being something that really set apart the Jewish people as a nation, there's something civic mm-hmm. about that. You know, and then, of course, if it's part of the Ten Commandments, there's something moral about that. So I think the Sabbath kind of maybe is a blend of all of the different aspects of God's law coming together. So I think of it as being bigger than a day. So that's, I don't know if that is clear.
No,
I just want to be clear that my wife and I are very religious about taking a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure that, certainly I'm minimizing, you know, that I don't think it's all that important, but my saying that I don't think it's all that important is simply to emphasize that whether you do it on Saturday or Sunday to me is very unimportant.
So you would be okay with on Wednesday if you chose Wednesday?
I think the choices are Sunday or Saturday. I think, unfortunately, because of the way our society has chosen to reject blue laws and that was a big part of the Sabbath. This is what frustrates me the most. This is why I really get upset about the Sabbath. When there is no Sabbath that everybody in the society celebrates together, in which case it'd be a civil institution,
mm-hmm.
then what happens is the poorest people in our midst have to work on the day, 8-7 days a week. They end up not getting any day off. And so they don't have a chance, along with all the rest of society, to just relax and let their hair down and rest together. And instead, they have to work on Sunday morning. They got to work all day long. And it's the poorest in our midst that ends up being a problem for. And that's where the heart of the Sabbath in the prophets mm-hmm. is not related to part of it's related to a rest in the Lord, but it's most sharp when Isaiah goes after the Sabbath when he's saying that you're requiring your servant and your animals to work on the Sabbath, and you get a day off and they don't. And it's unjust because they never get any rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is that it ends up being this oppressive regime where certain people have to work every day of the week and the rest of us get to take time off. And it seems to me that that all that being the case, that the Sabbath is very important. The choices are Saturday or Sunday. And for other people that can't do either one of those days, my recommendation is find a day and take a whole day, call it your Sabbath, and take the day off. If our society is too oppressive to let you do it, take a day off, and God will bless you for it, and you'll find that the rest of the 6 days, you've got the strength that you need to press through and persevere and get a lot done.
But Robert's conviction is that Friday night to Saturday night, that is the Sabbath as defined by the Bible. And
correct.
If that's Robert's and those like Robert who, if that's their heart conviction, they need to have that be their Sabbath.
Sure.
If somebody else
I would agree,
that,
and here in the United States, if somebody we should else, be free to demand that.
If somebody else doesn't have that heart conviction, Jonathan's saying, well, they can pick some other day, but you wouldn't be comfortable with that because you think that's disagreeing with Scripture.
Correct. Yeah. And
unfortunately, the poorest in our midst don't feel like they have the right or the authority to speak to their boss and say, you know what, I want this day off. And actually, Adventism being strong about that particular issue can probably help them to approach their boss.
No, and absolutely. And call and for, I have, for that kind of a thing. I have members of my church who approach me. I mean, I'll have several throughout the year that will approach me that will have work issues, and I'll type them a letter, you know, saying, you know, they're a member in good and regular standing at our church, and we observe the Sabbath as a day of rest, and, you know, please don't add any, you know, and usually they honor it, which is really great.
But they need to approach the authorities in their life to do that.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
But the reason why Seventh-day Adventists see it more than just entering into a rest, whichever day that is because Adventists see the Sabbath. Well, let me back up here real quick. If we were to back up to the book of Genesis, right, where it was originally given, okay? And if I may, let me just read it in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And then there's two things that I'd like to point out from that text.
Okay.
All right. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done." Now, the word rested from his work. Was God tired? You know, I mean, I guess that can be another show. But verse 3 is very important because it says, then
the answer, by the way, is no.
Yeah. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. In other words, he set it apart. He made that 24-hour period sacred. He made that 24-hour period
holy. Do me a
holy.
Favor, though. Read like day four, day five, day six. Read those verses. Do you have that part of your Bible open still?
Then God made... Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light into the darkness. And God saw that it was good, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
Okay.
And that is basically how he goes about.
Right, but he says the evening and the morning, the fourth day, and then he has some sort of similar thing, right? The evening and the morning is the fifth day?
Correct.
And the evening and the morning is the sixth day?
Correct.
But he doesn't say evening and the morning on the seventh day. The seventh day has no evening morning, which is why I believe it's to represent a period that's not just 24 hours. It's an epoch of time. It goes on. At the end of 24 hours, God stopped resting?
Well, no, this is what it says. It says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we ended the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them, now chapter 2, verse 1, were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And then that's the verse that I was reading. Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So the two points that I wanted to make from this, which are arguments that I hear pretty regularly from my Sunday keeping friends, is one, you know, the Sabbath was part of the old covenant. We're now living under the new covenant. And to that, I would say, wait a second. The Sabbath was given before any of the covenants. In other words, the covenants came into existence because sin entered the world. And so here God is giving the Sabbath day before sin even entered the world. And so he established that from the very beginning. And then the second point that I'd like to make that oftentimes is used in argument for like Sunday worship is that it was given to the Jews, right? The Sabbath was given to the Jews. Which I would say, okay, wait a second. Here we see that God gave the Sabbath to mankind, not to the Jews. The Jews weren't around for hundreds and hundreds of years
before
that.
And I actually agree with you. Yeah. I guess the point of distinction I'm making between your view and mine is that I'm not seeing that as
that important in the New Testament.
Well, I'm not seeing it as needing to be based on that text as needing to be understood as what we would define as a day, a 24-hour cycle.
Okay.
Because it does not follow the pattern of each and every other day in that passage.
Evening and morning.
Evening and morning, day one. Evening and morning. There's all these evenings and mornings, but then you get to day seven, there's no evening and morning.
Yeah.
So to me, I think that's a striking difference.
Sure.
So could you understand that as another 24-hour day? Sure,
absolutely.
I think that you could. But does the text require us to? I don't think so. And then when you put that in context of the bigger biblical picture and what is everything pointing to? Everything's pointing to Christ. You know, Jesus in Luke 24 says, the Old Testament testify of me.
Sure.
So I think a good practice for any Christian when you're reading the Old Testament is, what does this passage tell me about Christ?
Sure. But like you said a couple weeks ago, you can't base a theology based on the omission of a certain word or phrase or whatever. Just because the Sabbath isn't mentioned all that often in the New Testament, well, doesn't make a good argument that it's not valid.
But my point is, every day should be a Sabbath to the Christian. That's my point. It's a much larger obligation that the Christian should be motivated toward. Just like, not only don't kill people,
sure,
but don't hate people either.
Okay, so let me ask you, in practice, do you try to take a day for rest each week?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay, interesting. Because even though...
Just like in practice, I don't try to kill anybody.
Sure. But see,
in practice, you still choose one day to physically rest from work, even though spiritually every day you're living in the Sabbath rest that is Christ. Right? And so all I'm saying is that there's a distinction there that practically you're saying physically you're going to take a day of rest, while at the same time, spiritually, you're going to live in the rest that is Christ.
That one day is a weekly reminder of the everyday obligation that the Christian carries. So it's, you know, I think there's a pattern that's been set up.
Sure.
A weekly reminder. I mean, you're actually resting on that day. You're actually doing the.
Well, that's something I don't know if we have time.
Yeah.
Because I do want to spend some time. We only got a couple minutes left. Maybe next week's show. I want us to spend a solid amount of time on what does it mean to observe the Sabbath.
Mm. See, and I will just say, to give people something to chew on, maybe for the next week, is that from a Seventh-day Adventist perspective, the Sabbath, as we define it from Friday, sunset to Saturday sunset, that seventh day is a memorial in honor of our Creator. So it is a celebration of our Creator. And maybe, how much time do we have left? I'm not sure.
About 2 minutes.
Okay, so let me just share.
Two and a half minutes, something like that.
You know, in the big scheme of things, why this is important for Seventh-day Adventists nearing the end of time. Because in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Now, prior to that, in verse 6, it says this, 14. And I just read 12. But let me read 6 now, because at the end of time, we're given this message where three angels are going to go, around. Now, I don't think they're literal angels. I think that's symbolic. But here we have it in verse 6. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, sea, and the springs of water." So this passage in Revelation is almost word for word to what we see in the fourth commandment in Exodus, and resembling what we see in Genesis. So the issue for us is an issue of worshiping who? It is identifying who we're worshiping. We are worshiping the Creator of the universe, the Creator of mankind.
But in
mankind.
That Revelation passage, I mean, I think that should be understood as it's worship that goes on forever without end, right? And so to me, I'm still connecting that idea back to Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God enters into his perfect rest. Mm-hmm. And we'll define maybe that next
and
week.
And I would like to maybe
and
look
we should
at
enter
Hebrews.
Into that too.
Because Hebrews talks about entering into that rest. And there's a passage in Scripture in the book of Hebrews that I'd like to share.
Good. Right, let's get into it.
Now, Frank's going to be mad at me, but I cheated and I bought us an extra minute.
Yeah.
So
very nice.
So, is there any loose end on this that we wanted to take 30 seconds to tie up before next week we dive into what does it mean to? Do we feel pretty settled now that we all kind of understand each other's? We've triangulated each other. We understand where we're coming from. We feel good.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Jonathan Schweitzer is a senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. Robert Quintana is the senior pastor at Frederick Seventh-day Adventist. And I keep giving you all these free plugs. He's got a new show. I don't know if you call it a show. I don't know what to call it. What do you call it?
What do you call it?
He takes a devotional.
A devotional. There you go.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Well, yeah. they take his sermon message.
Yeah.
And they pare it down to fit the time constraints of the time that they have on the air. And they present it in edited form, but mm-hmm. basically it doesn't sound edited. They do a great job. It sounds like a full message.
My members wish that I would deliver a 26 and a half minute message.
But that airs on Sunday mornings.
Mine just love for me to talk and talk
go
and
on
talk
and on.
Talk. Yeah, yeah, not.
What is that? Why don't people want to hear you guys talk more? Anyway, that show airs from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. I would encourage you to, he doesn't take this maybe as a compliment. I mean it as a compliment. He is the Joel Osteen of Frederick.
Oh. Okay, there you have
look
it.
Look at him. He's smiling. He's yeah, laughing. Yeah. He's got the little curly black
the little
hair.
Curly hair black in the hair. Back. Right?
Yeah, a big smile. He certainly looks like him.
He doesn't look like him a little bit.
You should go visit one Saturday just to see if he looks like it or not.
Now,
I'm not as tall as
let
him.
Us know.
Now,
I'm sure that if we had Joel on this show, that you and he would have a lot of disagreements theologically.
I think so.
You know, but but anyway, he's just a happy guy.
Yeah.
I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, you don't think I'm a happy guy?
You're a happy guy.
It's a nice tie you have on today.
You're a big pastor.
Yeah. See, that's the way it goes.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for being on the show, you guys. Check us out online, WFMD.com, keyword faith. Go to the audio vault, listen to the show on podcast. I encourage you to do that over and over again. I'm Troy Skinner. This is The Faith Debate. God bless.
Goodman Plumbing makes a living by servicing their clients' needs. They make their life by how they service their clients, from the first phone call to when they leave your home when the job is done. Goodman Plumbing is dedicated to providing top-of-the-line quality work. Call Goodman Plumbing. That's with a P, as in your preferred plumber.
Goodman Plumbing. How can we make you smile?